Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. Verse 9, I will sow them among the peoples of the earth, and they shall remember me in far countries. Remember, the Bible says that during the millennial reign, Israel is now restored, the remnant that made it through the Great Tribulation. Now who are the greatest evangelists of Jesus as Messiah? The nation of Israel. And the Bible says during this time, 10 men will grab the sleeve of one Israeli person and say, please lead us to the God of Israel. Verse 10, I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead. That's the Golan Heights. And Lebanon, until no more room is found for them. Verse 11, he shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the rivers shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria, that's the Antichrist. Antichrist is prophesied many times. In fact, next week we're going to get the only physical description of the Antichrist. There's 33 titles in the Old Testament. This is one of them. The pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt, this is an idea of worldly systems and such, and materialism finally departing from the people of Israel, shall depart. Verse 12. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk. In the Old Testament, before Jesus paid our sins on the cross, you didn't walk with God because that would be a fearful thing, right? He was holy. But after Jesus died for all of our sins, this is a fairly, for lack of a better term, New Testament description. They're going to walk with God. They shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. The passion of the people of God just before and during the millennium. Now that arch of Titus is going to come into play. Chapter 9 of Zechariah described the Greeks and Alexander the Great right down to the Maccabee boys and what's called the Hasmonean dynasty. Hundreds of years before it happened. Now the focus of God's omniscience is going to focus on Rome. It's going to focus on the time of what's called the first advent or the first visit of Jesus here on planet Earth. And here's what's going to happen. The prophecy of Israel rejecting the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, capital L, capital O-R-N-D, Jehovah God. One of the things that Jesus said he was in the Gospel of John was this. I am the good shepherd. He didn't say I am a good shepherd. He said I am the definite article, whom, everybody? The good shepherd. What good shepherd? Psalm 23. That's me, says Jesus to all the people. And as a nation, what did they say in response? You? You're no shepherd of ours. And in fact, when it was trial time, they said, we have no king but Caesar. This is going to be mentioned in Zechariah. The prophecy of Israel rejecting the good shepherd, because God knew that they were going to do that. And here in the balance of chapter 11, we're going to see some of the consequences. We're going to see that the Romans, it's going to give their pathway in the Judean War, the first Judean War, right through the Galilee into Israel. And the Judean campaign of Vespasian and his son, Titus. We're going to see mentioned and foreshadowed the siege and destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the dispersion. 500 years before It happened. Hold your Bible. Would you mind? Just hold it real fast. Put your hand on it and say, "Whoa, Lord! Thank you for history in advance." Chapter 11, verse 1. "Open your doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour your cedars." Why? Because there's something coming. "Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedars have fallen, because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan." This is the Golan Heights and the Jordan Valley. "For the thick forest has come down. There is the sound of wailing shepherds." These are supposedly God's leaders of the flock of Israel. "There's going to be a sound of wailing shepherds, for their glory is in ruins. And there is the sound of roaring lions," an idea of conquest. "For the pride of the Jordan is in ruins. Thus says the Lord my God, feed the flock for the slaughter." Verse 5. "Whose owners slaughter them and feel no guilt. Those who sell them, these sheep, and they say, 'Cool, blessed be the Lord because I got rich.' But their shepherds do not pity them." As Vespasian was making his way through the Galilee region with his amazing army, he started out with 4 divisions from his father, and finally in a few years they're going to hit Jerusalem with 5 Roman legions. And when they're on their way down through this northern Galilee, one after the other, the shepherds of some of the regions and villages of Jews, you know what they did? They struck a deal with the Romans. They got bribed and bought off. They walked away with a lot of money in their pocket, but their villages and regions were ravaged by Roman conquest. What do you think God thinks of that? Verse 6, "For I will no longer pity the inhabitants of this land." Why are you turning your back against your people? And the answer really is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, when God says, "Israel, my beloved, if you do these things that I have commanded you, I'm going to protect you from foreign invading, conquesting armies. But if you don't, my hand of protection will come off, and they're going to come these disastrous results." These prophecies literally fulfilled in history. But I want you to make that a bit more personal and not just say, "Whoo, at least I'm off the hook because I don't really fit into these prophecies." Yes, we do if we reject our good shepherd. Verse 6, "For I will no longer pity the inhabitants of this land." This is speaking of the Roman conquest of 70 AD. "Says the Lord, but indeed I will give everyone into his neighbor's hand, and into his hand of his," what, everybody? "King," small k. And right in your margin there, John 19, verse 15, what did they say? Pilate says, "Here's your king of the Jews." And what did the leaders, the shepherds, say? "We have no king but whom," everybody? "Caesar, a Roman," exactly what is being prophesied here. "They shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their land." Why? One more rabbit trail. Hold your finger here. Turn quickly, if you would, to the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 19. Let me show you when this comes to stark fulfillment. Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, look at verse 41. This is the triumphal entry. Remember that? He did the donkey thing. Remember Zechariah 9, the donkey? And they're laying the palm branches down. They're singing the Hallel. They're declaring that he is Messiah. And he stops the whole show and begins to weep. Why, Lord? This is your party. Everybody's saying you're the Messiah. But what does Jesus know is going to happen? They're going to reject him. And in 4 days, he's going to be on a cross. Look at verse 41 of chapter 19. "Now as he drew near, with all this hubbub going on around him, the palm branches, the jackets, and the singing of the Hallel, now as he drew near, he saw the city," Jerusalem, and he what, everybody? Why did he weep? Verse 42, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, if you had known, even you, especially this your..." Notice it's day singular. What day is this? Right, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. This is 173,880 days from the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus, a Persian king, to rebuild Jerusalem, just like Daniel prophesied. From that decree, March 14th, 445 BC, until when? April the 6th, 32 AD. Is that important? It was a Sunday. It was the 10th of Nisan in the Jewish calendar. Is that important? Exodus chapter 12. What did the whole nation of Israel do on the 10th of Nisan, instructed by the word of God? To select their Passover lamb. And that's the day Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives. How about me? 4 days later, the 14th, he's going to be on a cross. If you would have only known this your day, and write in your margin there, Daniel 9, verses 24 through 25. This your day, oh, the things that make for your peace. Had Israel received Jesus as Messiah, at that point, that the thousand-year reign of Messiah would have begun. But God knew in advance that they wouldn't. But now they are hidden. What is hidden? All of these things that would have made for their peace, the millennial reign of Messiah. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you. What did the Romans do in 69 AD? They built a siege wall around the big walls of Jerusalem. Surround you, close you in on every side. The siege lasted almost a year. 1 million Jews perished. And it got so bad, that hunger was so stark, as I said, that parents were reduced to eating their children. Verse 44, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Here's your answer. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. 300 prophecies, including Zechariah, that we're reading right now. And they didn't see it. Which means they didn't seize it. Which means the peace that God had for them was not going to happen. Back to our story. Join me back in Zechariah. Here's his object lesson. Let's move quickly. Verse 7. Okay, so now Zechariah is going to do an object lesson. So, I fed the flock for the slaughter. In particular, the poor of the flock. I took for myself two staffs. One of them I called Beauty. The Song of Solomon refers to our Messiah as lovely to behold. One of the descriptions of our Messiah. The one I called Beauty, or Grace. The other one I called Bonds, or literally bands, if you will, union. And then I fed the flock, verse 8. I dismissed three shepherds in 1 month. My soul loathed them, and their soul loathed or abhorred me. What was this? Fast forward the film. Were there shepherds of Israel coming against Jesus? Were there? Yeah. There were the Pharisees. There was the Sadducees and the Herodians. This is prophesying them. Who are the Pharisees? They were the legalists. Self-righteous. I can ascend God's righteousness if I just make sure I dot all the I's and cross all the T's. The Sadducees, who were they? They were the liberals. There was no supernatural, no hell, no angels. And basically, people are pretty good. You know, they'll figure it out. And then the Herodians, who were they? They were the political process to bring about God's purposes. Verse 9, and we're almost done. Then I said, I will not feed you. Let what is dying, what? Die. And what is perishing, what? Perish. Let those who are left, look, eat each other's flesh. Are you telling me that this is specific prophecy concerning events that will happen 500 years after? What am I saying? Yes. Verse 10. And I took my staff, beauty, and cut it into two, that I might break the covenant, or seemingly break the covenant with Israel. But again, right in your margin there, Matthew chapter 21, when God sets aside Israel, turns his attention and kingdom efforts to the church for the next 2,000 years. The church is going to be removed. Then who does God return his attention to? Back to Israel. 3.5 years, they think that the Antichrist is their Messiah. The Antichrist shows his true colors. They cry out to the Lord. The last 3.5 years, God pours out his supernatural care. And we read about that in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Verse 11. So it was broken on that day, and I wrote in my Bible, April 6th, 32 A.D. Thus the poor of the flock, who were watching me, knew that I was the word of the Lord. This is fascinating. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Everybody knows that. Look at Zechariah 11 one more time. And so it, this staff called beauty, was broken on that day, April 6, 32 AD, crucifixion. Thus the poor of his flock who were watching me, watching who? Watching me, and Zechariah standing in for a model of Christ, knew that it was the word of the Lord. The true and honest Jewish seekers of Zechariah's day knew what was happening, but this is also prophetic of whom, everybody? Those watching Jesus from the foot of the cross. You know who one of those were who saw and was convinced that he was truly the Son of God? You know who said that? The Roman centurion. Wow. Verse 12. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, in other words, okay, you guys, what'd you think of my object lesson of fattening these sheep up just so they'll be slaughtered? What do you think that's worth, is what he's saying. What would you pay him? Well, then give me my wages, and if not, then refrain. And so they wait out for my wages. Look at this. What, everybody? 30 pieces of silver. Judas betrayed our Lord for how much? And here it is in your Bible. Right in your margin, Exodus chapter 21, verse 32. Do you know what 30 pieces of silver was? It was the payment of a wounded servant. This was meant to be a snub, and we know it, of course, as prophetic. We're going to take the last two verses and we'll end. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the what? To the potter, that princely price, somewhat satirical, they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Do you remember what happened when Judas Iscariot, he was remorseful, he wasn't repentant. He takes this blood money back to the people that paid him, and he said, I don't want it. What did they say? What is that to us? What did Judas Iscariot do? He took the money and what? He threw it into the temple, and all of the priests and Levites and so on, and the Pharisees, they went, ooh, blood money, we can't touch it. And you know what they did? Matthew fills in the story. They took those 30 pieces of silver, and you know what they bought with it? A potter's field. One of the lowliest economic stations in this culture was a potter. And if you were making a pot and you messed it up, chipped it, broke it, or it was deformed, you chunked it out the window into your field. What is the kingdom of heaven like? What is church like? What's God's heart like? I'll show you, says Jesus. He said in Matthew 13, verse 44. You know what the kingdom of heaven is like? It's like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and then he hid it again, and for joy over it, he went and sold everything that he had to buy the field. Why? Because there's a treasure in it. Jesus bought my potter's field. What was in there? A great treasure. Who? Me. broken, not useful, shattered, thrown out the window, only to be buried in the most worthless piece of real estate in the whole neighborhood. And there I lay in pieces. And my Lord comes by and says, valuable. So valuable, I will sell everything I am. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, let's all stand together, shall we? All you crackpots, go ahead and stand up. I don't know about the Lord. I think he's mad at me. I don't think the Lord likes me. You may think what you want. I want to put whatever you feel against what God's Word says. God's Word says that you are a treasure so valuable that he sold everything to seize it. And the picture in Zechariah is not just any old field, everybody, but a potter's field. Lord Jesus, number one, thank you for the intellectual grasp that everything happening and transpiring on this planet, you have foreseen. Lord, thank you for not sugarcoating what it looks like, what my life looks like when I reject the Good Shepherd. I will crash. I will be broken and shattered, and I will look up and I'll say, what are you doing, God? And we think that it's your fault. When you have clearly spelled out and modeled through Zechariah, I am the Good Shepherd, beloved. I wish to pour into your life healing and wholeness and stability. The gospel. God saw the terrible state that I was in, zipped up a human suit. Why? So that like that tent peg, he would bear all of my sin. Lord Jesus, I pray that no one this morning misses that, that we don't miss the day of our visitation. And with everybody's head down and everybody's eyes closed, skeptic who is here among us today, God sees the future. There's many more prophecies where that came from. But God is saying to you, what do I have to do? My fingerprints are all over history. My prophecies come true exactly as I say. I have been at work in your life and you know it. Why are you still resisting me? Christians pray. The gospel. I zipped up a human suit and jumped in front of the bus of your judgment. And I took your judgment because I love you. And you are like a shattered piece of pottery in a field that no one cares about and is full of dead bodies. Don't you want to come out of that? I died. So that you wouldn't have to live in death. So you wouldn't have to live in a sort of a hell on earth, and you wouldn't have to go to the real hell that is coming. If that's you today, would you simply say, Lord Jesus, I finally give up and give my life to you. I don't want to miss the Good Shepherd. Please forgive my sin. Heal my life, and I give you, Lord, the steering wheel. And today, I'm going to think real serious about getting baptized. What? I'm going to go down to that river. I'm going to let Pastor Steve and the elders and all the brothers dunk me under the water, which is a sign of the old me dying. I'm going to come up out of the water, brand new, and no longer in death. In Jesus' name. And all the loved ones said, Amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.